Well, welcome back to our study of Judges. We have been reading in the first chapter, and before we continue with our reading in the first chapter about taking territories in the Promised Land, I'd like for you to go back to the book of Joshua with me, and let's look together at chapter 13 in Joshua, and we're going to look at the first three verses together. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Jeshurun, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazath, the Gazathites, and the Ashtarites, and the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and also Avites.
Okay, here's what I want you to see in this. When you go back up to verse 2 where it says all the borders, actually it's all the region of the Philistines, okay, and then you get the five major cities of the Philistines, okay? So they had not yet taken this territory, all right? Well, when we get over here in Judges, it talks about how that they haven't driven out all this enemy in the land because there was a compromise in all this. Now, here's what I want you to say. I said when I come back after the break, I want to talk to you about is there not a cause? See, when these people, when Joshua told them, he said, all right, there's much land yet to be taken and you haven't taken it. And he specifies the land that they haven't taken. Okay? I mean, you can read that right there in the 13th chapter of Joshua. But when they go in, and you know, he has the guys to divide the territory, all the territory into the regions that each tribe is to get. Then they get in and they're not willing to do what it takes to take the whole territory. You got all that?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's fast forward to David. David being the second king of Israel. Well, let's go back before that. Let's go back to Saul, the first king of Israel. Who's Saul fighting with? Who was coming against Saul? The Philistines. The five lords of the Philistines. Remember reading that in Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't drive them out of the land. You understand? And so when we look at David there in 1 Samuel 17, where you see this, here David is just a young boy, shepherd, keeping his father's sheep. And his father sends him down to check on his brothers who are in Saul's army. And he goes down, and while he's there, this giant comes out and intimidates Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everybody else. And so when Goliath would come out and make his boast, what did the army do? They went in hiding. When David heard this, he said, who is this? Yeah, what's going on here? My paraphrase, all right? And so some of these soldiers said, listen, Saul will give his daughter to the guy that defeats him and he'll make his family tax exempt in the nation. And David said, I'll go up. And his brother, Eliab, what are you doing here? You need to be back there keeping sheep. You just up to no good. You just came down here to see the war. And David said this, is there not a cause? That's the problem. Saul didn't see a cause to go up against Goliath. The armies didn't see the cause. But here's what David saw. He's defying God's armies. This is speaking against God. I'll confront him. So they take him to the king. They take him to Saul. Saul, you can't go up against him. You're just a young boy. That man's been a warrior from his youth. Bottom line, he'll eat you alive. And then David tells him about what God has done for him. The supernatural. Now, I was keeping sheep. A bear tried to get my sheep. I ripped him with my bare hands. Same way with the lion. I killed him with my hands. And that out of covenant Philistine will be no different. You get the message. You hear the heart of him. No wonder he says it was, he's after God's own heart. He's defying God. Anybody that defies God, we have a cause. We have a cause to stand up for God. And you know how the story goes? That with what appears to be an inferior weapon. I mean, you know, I carried a M14 rifle. I didn't carry a sling or a slingshot. You understand? David carrying a sling and picks up 5 stones. And he goes up there. And the enemy mocks him. You know, who is this? Where's your sword? Where's your spear? You know, that type mentality. You think you're going to whip me with a sling? David said, you come at me with a sword and spear, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to take your head off you. And that's a pretty bold statement for a guy without a sword. But you know the story. You've got that rock sinks into his forehead. He hits the ground. David goes up there and takes the enemy's weapon and destroys the enemy with his own weapon. Why didn't they do that earlier? They didn't have the mind on God. They saw the enemy. They saw the power of the enemy. They didn't see the power of God. This is what's going on in the world today. People don't recognize the power of God. They see the power of the enemy. They don't recognize the power of God. And we get into these I can'ts rather than the I can'ts. You know, I was just talking today, as a matter of fact. Boy, I thank God for my daddy. He put some values in me. My daddy was a peaceable man. But I guarantee you one thing. He was a man of force if he needed to be. But he was a gentle man. And he would tell us, I better never hear tell of you picking a fight. And I better never hear tell of you running from a fight. You stand your ground. You understand? And what's wrong today? Christians are running. They're running in the wrong direction. They're not standing their ground. They don't see a cause. And so, you know, we just developed this little thing. You know, somebody says, I'm going to whip you. You better pack your lunch. You're going to have an all-day job. You're not going to do it with your mouth. And so that's what's going on. The enemy goes about as a roaring lion. How's he defeating people? With his mouth. He's already been defeated. Do you understand that? He's defeated. He goes about as a roaring lion, not as a devouring lion. He's seeking those who will allow him to devour them. Who would that be? Those that are intimidated by the enemy. If you submit to God, the enemy won't intimidate you. You understand? If you're intimidated by the enemy, you have a problem with submission to God. And God wants us to get this revelation to where we're not content to not take the territory that God's given us. And I'm not talking about picking up arms and shooting people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you taking the territory that God gives you and you don't let people talk you out of it. Since I've been in the ministry, people have tried to talk me out of not obeying God. You know why? Because it didn't agree with the religious mindset. It didn't agree with tradition. You go against the grain. You believe the Bible more than you believe the hierarchy. And then you get called a zealot. Or you get accused of being heretical. Isn't it amazing that if you believe the Word of God, people say it's heresy? So you have to tell yourself, I will do what God told me to do because there is a cause. There are people who want to know truth. And so I'll go to those who want to know truth. And I won't let those who do not want to know truth intimidate me. You understand? And you've got to get to that point. You have to be a person that loves truth. You have to love truth. And I'm not talking about thinking you're it. I know where truth is. Your word is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. There's two sources of truth, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so we have to pursue that. And I don't find that a lot of people really want to put a lot of effort into pursuing the Word of truth. Or the Spirit of truth. They'd rather be excited. They'd rather be entertained. God called me to serve, not to be served. He bought me, which makes me a slave. And if you're a slave, you don't belong to you. Why haven't we gotten that revelation yet? So then the slave finds out from the master what the master wants instead of the slave telling the master what he wants or what he should do. We've got it reversed. God is not looking for advisors. You understand? He's looking for servants, slaves, people who will do what he advises them to do. And when he says, take the territory, take the territory. Don't give it up.
You know, David wasn't intimidated by Goliath. If you look at the 48th verse in that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, it says, David hastened. He hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Why was he able to do that? He had confidence in God. He believed that the battle is the Lord's. Where did that confidence come from? It came from his personal experiences with God. Just David and God. Nobody was there with his encounter with the bear. Nobody else was there with his encounter with the lion. And so, where do we get our confidence in God? That's right, in our personal experiences with the Lord. But if we never give him time and we never give him attention, we close the door to our experiences with him. The reason why people are unwilling to move forward for God, the reason why they don't see the need to stand up for a cause, the reason why they don't think the battle is worth it is because they don't have the confidence in God. Mm-hmm. They don't see the value in it. If something is not valuable to you, it's not worth fighting for. So we have to keep ourselves in a position where we value and cherish the fellowship with God. I'm not talking corporate. I'm talking individual, you understand. That's where the confidence in Him is built. And you know how that comes? That confidence comes here a little, there a little. Little by little by little by little. You grow and deepen in your fellowship with Him. That confidence is built. What about the Israelites with this promised land? They had been wandering in the wilderness already for 40 years. This is second generation. Joshua's already passed away. We're going to find out as we keep reading. After those elders who were with him passed away, you know what? They didn't have any experiences with the Lord. They didn't know. They had forgotten all the things that had happened, all the miraculous supernatural. They didn't know the word. We have to keep it before us. You see the correlation with that?
One generation has to pass it down to the next generation.
Yes.
And there's been a failure in that. And that's what gets people in trouble. You have to have a cause. You understand? In the morning when you wake up, if you have a cause, you'll get out of bed. You don't sit there and try to see how long you can stay in the bed. I have a goal every day when I get up. I've got something I'm wanting to do. Okay? And what does that do? It motivates you. Well, if we have a desire to pursue God, that should motivate us. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to function in His kingdom the way He wants me to function in His kingdom. And I can't do that without knowing Him and knowing how His kingdom operates. That means I have to subject myself to that, right? And so it's done by doing one thing at a time. One thing at a time. You take the land by a city at a time. But if you hit a city that's giving you a little bit of trouble and you say, well, I'm going to bypass this city and go to the next, then you're yielding territory. You stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. And if you need somebody to help you, then get somebody to help you. You understand those tribes there, they could call on one another for help. Instead of trying to be so independent, I'm my own man, you know. And so we have to learn to work together. You know, it's a good thing the military doesn't fight one another, that they work together. But see, I was just thinking, you know, if it hadn't have been for the army, we would have been overrun. They tried to overrun our base December 21st, 1967. But the army came in with the helicopters, the miniguns, the rockets, and put a stop to it. We didn't have any heavy artillery. Biggest thing we had was 81 millimeter mortar and an M60 machine gun. You understand? And so if you can't get it done, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to say, listen, I need some help here. You understand? We have to learn to work together. We can get the job done instead of fighting one another. You follow me? Had Israel taken the territory and driven out the enemy, David would have not had that confrontation with Goliath. It would have never been in that situation. They're still fighting the enemy. Do you know that it was David who defeated the Philistines? It was David who took the territory. He saw a cause. And he rose to the occasion. You understand? Okay.
Okay.
A little side journey there, but I don't know that it was all that much of a side journey. It goes right into it. Okay.
Verse 35 of chapter 1 of Judges. That the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon and Shealbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward.
So they just decided, we won't drive them out, we'll just charge them tax, we'll make money off of them. Isn't that what they're doing? When they says they brought them under tributary, what's it doing? They didn't drive them out of the land, they're just taxing them. No, get rid of it.
Chapter 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you.
Now you see where God's position is? He said, the angel said, I went before you. I brought you out of Egypt. I was going before you. You had your mandate. Your mandate was to drive the enemy out of the land. You were not to make a covenant, a league, enter into an agreement with your enemy. But look at what all these people had done. They had made agreements. We'll let you stay here if you'll pay taxes and all this. You come under our control and we'll let you stay here. And so he said, because you have not obeyed my voice, then I won't be going out before you now. I'm not going to fight for you now. You serving their gods, serve their gods. Because you're not going to hold hands with their gods and me. In other words, you're on your own. Now, they're going to be a discomfort to you. You're going to find you made a bad mistake. How many of you know if you get a thorn in you, it's not pleasant?
Right.
Now, you've got to live with it. You made the agreement, you have to live with it. Have you ever made a bad decision you had to live with? Everybody has. And then you know, why did I do that? Because you didn't listen to the Spirit of the Lord. You understand? It's that simple. Obey God. And basically, that's what he said. If you'd obey God, you wouldn't be into trouble again.
Verse 4. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord.
And when, all right, hold on just right there. So they, excuse me, they get a rebuke for their actions, right? Now when they hear that God's not going to be going before them in the fire, now they start crying. We wanted to do our thing, but we don't want you to leave us alone. We want you to come to our rescue when our thing doesn't work. God says you're on your own, so they start crying. Now, we're getting ready to change gears a little bit here, but this is somewhat of a parenthetical, I suppose.
And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back right here. See, in the first verse of Judges, the first chapter, it says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass. Now when we get over here in the second chapter, it says, and when Joshua had let the people go. Okay? So, what's going on here? So this is not necessarily chronological, right? Alright. Here's the thing. Joshua had led a campaign and then he had turned this over to these people. This is what you're supposed to do. And everybody's not doing it. As a matter of fact, they're just sitting on their duff and Joshua's telling them, go take the territory. You know. And then here we get the Lord speaking to them and rebuking them. And it says, when Joshua let the people go, everyone went to his inheritance to possess the land. They hadn't possessed it yet. They went to possess it, okay? Now, we pick back up with verse 10.
And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
That generation is talking about Joshua and the elders, those who were actually leading. So they die off. Now you have another generation here that's come up. Now look at this. It says they did not know the Lord, and they didn't know the works that the Lord had done for Israel. Why didn't they know the Lord, and why didn't they know the works? Because the former generation didn't pass it on. And yet in Deuteronomy, it says that they're to teach the children. You talk about it. You talk about the Word of God when you get up. You talk about the Word of God when you sit down. You talk about the Word of God along the way. You keep the Word of God before them. They didn't keep the Word of God before them. They failed to tell what God had done in the past. And so this generation can't even relate to God. They can't relate to the power of God. They haven't seen that. Because the nation, after Joshua dies, everybody's doing their own thing. What's right in their eyes. They're not looking to God. You know, I was talking to Heather telling her, you know, when I grew up and, you know, even to the time I graduated from high school, it was just a general consensus of people going to church and, you know, most kids went to church and that type thing. I'm not saying they served God and all this, but God was kept before them to the point that I think most of the people back then would have said, God's the God of the United States of America. But in our generation, my generation, you see the Communist Party start rising up there in the early 60s. Even in this city, one of the people who graduated a year after I did became an active member of the Communist Party, you know, right here in this city. And then you look at from one generation to another, in that 60s it was a rebellious time. You know, my generation was... They took this nation in the wrong direction. You know, the hippie movement and the feminist movement and all the rebellion and all this kind of garbage that went on then. And then you just started going away from God. Then it's the make your cure to go to church. I was made to go to church. Well, you don't want to, you don't have to. Listen, until I went into service, I was made to go to church. I lived under my mama and daddy's roof. And there was one authority in that house. And you live here, you're going to church. Well, I don't feel like, well, we'll have the preacher to pray for you. You're going to church. You understand? That was the mentality, and that's what made this nation great. God. And then we got away from God. And look at where we are today. You know what you get expelled from when we went to school, when I went to school? Don't wear your shirt tail out, you get expelled from school. You can't smoke, you get expelled from school. They didn't carry guns. We threw a few spit wads and some erasers, and that got you in trouble. You understand? You didn't have all that stuff. And, you know, if a couple guys got in a fight, it was with their fist. You didn't have detectors. You didn't have SRO officers and all this other stuff. You didn't need them. People still had a fear of God. But it wasn't passed from one generation to another. And you'd be surprised how many kids in this city right here never go to church. Never. Don't know anything about God. All they know about God is what somebody else has told them. And this problem, most cases, it's going to be a lie. You understand? And so, look at where the nation is. Everybody does right in their own eyes. Well, this is how I believe. I think it ought to be like this. Anybody ever stop and ask yourself, what does God think? That's the way we need to go. It's the way God thinks. You understand? You have to teach your children. I followed the pattern of my daddy. You live in this house? You can live here. I told my kid, you can live here till you're 50 years old. I don't care. But one authority in this house, and it ain't you. And you will go to church. You understand? Now what they do after they're grown and married, I don't have authority over them anymore. But I can tell you this, they can't say they weren't taught right. We've got to teach people. We've got to put God before the people. And see, the church has not been putting God before the people. When I say God, I'm talking about the Bible. Not modern day events and all this type stuff. Not self-help stuff. You know, we do all these kinds of seminars on, you name it. Teach the Bible. That's your answer for whatever your problems are. Learn what the Word of God has to say about these things. We're to keep God before that, but the church stopped doing that. And then if they do use the Scriptures, they want to use Scriptures that are not offensive. I believe that we should know the whole Bible, not just favorite parts of the Bible. I believe we should know what God has to say. And so we're under obligation to put God before you. You understand? We represent Him. Now, I'm not going to short collar everybody I see and tell them, you need Jesus. They already know that if they've got a conscience. They may not know it in those terms, but they know that they got problems and they need help, you understand? And so, what are we to do? Represent the Lord, bloom where we're planted. You know, I don't try to run the church down the street. None of my business. But it is my business to oversee what God's put me over. You with me? And everybody has a sphere of influence. Are we influencing people for God, or are we just caught up in everyday life and our conversation's not about God? You follow me? That's what happened right here. And they lost their generation. And it just started devolving. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution, where people get farther and farther away from God because there's an absence of teaching and doing what God has told us to do. Keep the word out. Keep the word out. I don't want to offend. Well, I don't want to offend you, but I'm not going to compromise the word. If the word offends you, I didn't offend you. Your word did. I wasn't trying to offend you. I was trying to tell you the truth. And if you get offended with truth, you got a major problem. You just think it's me. All right, time's up. He's probably wanting some relief by now, right? Okay, we get back into this. What are we in, the second chapter?
Yes, sir.
We'll get back to this in our next session. Okay. Tori, your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week.